are excited to welcome you back to Gather to Scatter. We are Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel, three friends who love to talk about Jesus. Today, we will continue on in our What in the World series by talking about the cross, the image, and meaning. We must gather well to scatter well. We will laugh, we will cry, we'll definitely be weird, but our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on Scripture. Mm-hmm. Woo! So, today for our tete-a-tete, Mo.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
Yeah.
All right. This one's not like an explosion out of the world thing. It's really just maybe kind of like a get to know us kind of question.
I like that. I like a get to know us. We're what? How many episodes in? 19?
Yeah.
Whoa. We'll get a little bit more.
Why not finally get to know us a little bit? Okay. Because we just changed seasons. What's your favorite season? And the three items that you get to wear with your favorite season.
Oh, okay. My favorite season is the fall.
Okay.
I love wearing scarves,
multiple
layers, and little hats.
Little hats?
Just little hats.
Like, not a big hat?
No.
Just a little hat.
Just a little one.
Just a little.
Like a beanie or a baseball cap.
Have y'all seen the teeny weeny beanie video?
Yes.
Teeny weeny beanie.
Nope. Yeah. Oh. Jimmy Fallon and Ant-Man. Oh my
Ant-Man.
Gosh. Paul?
Yeah, Paul Rudd.
Thank you. Sorry, Paul.
Teeny weeny beanie.
It's okay, Jordan. It's okay.
You remembered I was Ant-Man.
Oh, we're going to listen.
It was good.
Wow.
Teeny weeny beanie.
I can go to sleep happy tonight. Thank you guys.
Teeny weeny beanie.
Good.
Teeny weeny beanie.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, just a little hat.
All right, Rach.
I don't know, because I'm between...
Betweeny weeny.
Okay. Betweeny weeny weenie. No.
So annoying.
I'm between fall and spring because I love fall because I love fall clothes, but I love spring because I love like all the flowers and the new life and the weather. I don't know.
You gotta pick.
I think if I gotta pick, I'm going spring.
Okay.
I'm going spring. Do I have to do the clothes though?
Why not?
Because you love clothes.
I know, but I don't like spring for the clothes. So, I don't know, what would I wear? I guess I could wear my, like, platform sandals in the spring. I get to break out the toes again.
Mm.
Those are good. Yeah.
That's big.
Break them out.
Yeah. Break out the toes.
Yeah.
That pedicure.
Love wearing sundresses. Love.
Okay. That's good. Dresses and open-toed sandals.
That's what I got. All right.
Mine's fall. Winter's a close second for me, though. I really love being chilly. I will complain about it.
Okay, I was about to say.
I love being chilly.
I am bombasticking side-eye as you're in your trench in my house.
To be fair, your house is so cold always.
It is 70 degrees right now.
No, it's not.
It is. I put it at 70 heat.
0% chance that's actually what it feels like right now.
Yeah, this studio always feels, you know, you even said it's cold when we came in.
And then I went and adjusted and now it's fine.
No, I didn't complain. I didn't. Did you even hear me say it was cold in here? I said I'm keeping my trench coat on.
You for said, the trenches. We're in the trenches.
I just gave an analogy.
That's it.
All right.
That's it. But I really do. I love the cold weather. And then like I'll recognize that I've said I'm cold a little too many times. I'm like, all right, I'll shut up now. But like, I really do love the cold weather and like bundling up. But I love breaking out my Uggers. That's one.
We're all wearing Ugg-like shoes.
Mine are
super knockoff. Yeah.
I love a turtleneck. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing one right now.
You are.
Love a turtle. Yeah. Neck. Turtles are cool too. And I love my coats.
You have great coats.
Love my coats. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you think that comes from your time in New York?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, I'm from Southern California.
Yeah.
So, like New York even changed my style like completely.
Amazing. Yeah. So today we are talking about the cross, the image and the meaning of the cross. Before we dive in, Mariah, How did we get here?
Okay, let me tell you.
Okay.
Have you guys heard of the Whatever podcast?
No.
No.
Okay. I think I just saw like random clips on Instagram, and so I was like, what is this? But it's kind of cool. He brings on, I don't know if he has like a total layout for it, but he always brings on people very passionate on the subject being spoken about from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Okay.
So this particular
day. So like
day,
two guests?
No, it's many people sitting around the table, but like half of the guests are one side, half of the guests are the
I
other
have
side.
Seen this.
And
I
he's kind of like
this.
A moderator,
yes,
I would say.
Yes, 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 yes.
I think he can, you can kind of tell where he stands on the subject, but he's very good at moderating. And then I watched this particular episode because, you know, I love my girl Candace Owens. Yeah. And she posted about it, and I was like, oh, this kind of seems, I don't want to say below her, but it was like, it was just like, oh, I would not have pegged you for this podcast. But I'm so glad she did it because she's just so intelligent.
Yeah.
And not that these other women on it were not intelligent, but it was just like, I was surprised. But then listening to it, I was like, oh, everyone needed that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's even nice for Candace to like have these kind of conversations, mm-hmm. I'm sure, yeah. too, with like real life humans sitting mm-hmm. across the table. Anywho, so this particular episode, it was Candace, and then there were a few other, maybe two or three other women, like also on the same side as Candace. And then on the opposite side of the table, there were like four or five porn stars. And so they talked about a myriad of topics. Mm-hmm. But at one particular point, Candace and the girl directly across from her were kind of like a little bit of a heated argument. Religion came up as a topic, and actually the moderator said to the girl, he's like, are you wearing a cross necklace but your shirt says made in hell? And she smiled and she's like, yeah. And she made a comment like the like opposites or something, right? And then she's like, it's actually just because the cross is red and it matched the writing red on the shirt. And
wow.
Candace was like, well, I don't understand, like, why are you wearing a cross? And she was like, because I think it's cute. And Candace went on to, she even maybe said, like, the cross is, like, mm-hmm. Jesus died on the cross. And she said, and the girl said, but that's what you believe.
Oh, no, no.
And she said, you believe that. Like, that's okay for you to think that. You believe that. And then she went back to, I think it's cute. And then another girl next to Candace said, okay, but would you wear a Star of David? And then Candace goes on to say, or a yarmulke.
Yeah.
And the girl was like, well, that's completely different. And both of them were like, why, I don't understand. And the topic just kind of ended. Yeah. Like, there was no response to that. The moderator was kind of like, I think we've gone off topic. And they changed the subject. So there was no actual, like, why,
oh, yeah,
I don't understand,
so you're
how
you're not
going to
make her actually answer right. the hard question.
Yeah. And then another girl did say something, which I don't actually know much about this. Maybe you guys do. But one girl did mention to me, she's like, Catholics use the cross as a symbol, or like maybe this was old Catholicism, but they use the cross as like a symbol more to just spread it as much as popular and to, or as much as possible, and for it to just be popularized by the masses, just so people would like look at it often, mm-hmm. and so it would just be like more just out in general.
The
and
cross, so, or the crucifix?
No,
the cross.
The cross. The cross. Yes. And so the girl was trying to make a point, like, that's how they used to do it, and so, you know, we just wear it because that's how people used to see it, kind of thing.
Yeah, it was an aesthetic thing, not yeah. a this actually holds meaning thing.
That's what she was referencing yeah. it yeah. to be, which I don't know about that, but she did say that as well. So so yeah, when I listened to that episode, I was kind of like taken aback, because I don't know about you guys, but I definitely see people wearing crosses left, right, and center. And by that, I guess I mean, I see it out in public too, but I see it a lot on, I don't want to say a lot, but I have seen it many several times on like Instagram, you know, when it's girls
yeah.
half naked, and the one
they've
thing
got
I'm like,
cross necklace.
Yeah, I'm like,
or
what?
They've got a cross tattoo.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, cross anything. And in my head, I've always kind of been like, I don't understand. But I've never really.
And it would be interesting, like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, yeah. Because yeah. I don't, you know, I don't want to say, you know, you're mm-hmm. wearing it for the wrong reasons, but in the context of what I'm seeing and them wearing it, it feels yeah. wrong.
And at the very least, like, I'm just confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said that was called the Whatever Podcast?
Yeah, it's called the Whatever Podcast.
Interesting.
So I guess I watched that, and I was like, I feel like this is something that we should talk about. And
yeah,
I myself would be interested to, like, kind of hear what you guys have to say, and also, yeah. like, do my own research and kind of like heart check myself and like why I wear my cross necklace. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so talk about all that. So that's why I came up with this episode, because of this one podcast. Shout out Candace. Love my girl.
Yeah, love that. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the cross. What is it? What was it used for? Give us a little bit of history.
From what I found, well, we obviously, well, maybe we don't obviously know. Okay, well, let's go back before Jesus died on the cross. Crosses were used for crucifixion, which actually, I do have it up. I wanted to give the full definition of crucifixion because I don't think, maybe not everyone will know. So crucifixion is a method of capital punishment in which the condemned is tied or nailed to a large wooden cross beam or stake and left to hang until eventual death. So it was used as a punishment by the Persians, Carthaginians, and Romans, among others. So I think, and maybe this is me just being naive, but I don't think for the longest time I knew that, well, one, that crucifixion just meant this, and that the cross was actually used to murder anyone other than Jesus, like before him. I didn't know that that was like the method that they used. So that was, I knew that before this episode, but like earlier in my days, like before becoming a believer, I feel pretty certain that I just thought like Jesus was the only person who's ever died on the cross, and like that was like the meaning. But lo and behold, he's not.
So it's estimated that the Romans crucified over 30,000 men in Palestine alone by the time of Jesus.
30,000?
30,000 men. There were also mass crucifixions during the first century AD.
Got Question says, crucifixion was meant to inflict the maximum amount of shame and torture upon the victim. And this is, I want to put a little trigger warning, because it gets a little graphic, but I do want to read it because I think it holds a lot of meaning behind it. And so it, for someone even like myself, I did not understand it. So I won't read every little bit, but I do want to read some of this. So the victim, so crucifixion was so horrible that it was reserved for only the worst offenders. So let's keep that in mind as well. But the victim of crucifixion was first severely beaten. So it was, you're beaten so bad that that itself was life-threatening. And then you're forced to carry the wooden cross on your back. So they're carrying it, you know, for however long. I don't know if that's ever, you know, specified. I don't know if we ever know, yeah, how far they're carrying this wooden cross on their back. But they're then meant to carry this wooden cross up to the place where they're then going to put the cross in and be murdered. And from what I've read, it's like they've already been beaten so badly that them carrying the cross was like a very easy task for them to do because of how badly they've been beaten, which that alone is just, imagine being so badly beaten that you don't even like carrying this huge thing up this hill is like nothing to you because you're just so hurt elsewhere. And so then from there,
like, sorry, I want to camp there for a second. So you're saying because of the destruction to their body so far, are they like mentally not even aware? Like, why is it easier? I feel like that would be harder.
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know if there's...
Repeat what you said again.
So, because they're beaten so bad, they are just... And you know when you... I've never actually gotten in a fight, but have you heard, like, when you get in a fight, you have so much adrenaline racing that, like, you don't feel the pain until later?
Yeah. Correct,
I guess that's what I'm understanding from this. Is like, they've been beaten so bad that
while... Their body goes into shock.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, if, you know, originally you would have just picked up this beam at first, you'd be like, oh, shoot, that's really heavy. But, like, at this point, they don't even notice because of just everything else going on in their body. Yeah. Again, from what I'm reading. Yeah. So from there, once they get to the place of crucifixion, this individual would then be stripped naked to further shame him. And then he'd be forced to stretch out his arms on the crossbeam, and they're nailed in place. Again, this was news to me. You're not being nailed through the hand because apparently it can be easier for the nail to come out. So you're nailed in your wrist. And then you're nailed... So one on each side, so two, and then your feet, one on top of the other, and then one just right through the ankles. Mm-hmm. So one there's foot only
right on top of the other.
Sorry, yes, 1 foot right on top of the other foot, and then just one nail through both mm-hmm. ankles. So there's only 3 nails in there. In their body.
Holding up your whole body on
holding
cross.
Up your well, whole body.
And often they would pierce the Achilles heel that's in the back of your leg, so you literally would, like, it would be,
you couldn't, like, push
it would
up.
Be a struggle for you to push up.
Yes. And so all his weight supported by these 3 nails, which would cause pain throughout the body. And then it would, I guess, it, you're stretched out in a way that causes cramping and then paralysis in the chest muscle, which makes it close to impossible to breathe. And then in order to take a breath, the victim had to push up with its feet, mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. at this point.
Yeah. Which was hard because of the Achilles.
Exactly, yes.
So. And your back is bloodied and, mm-hmm. and every nerve is exposed from the beating. So you're pushing up yes. on this nasty, rugged wooden beam.
Cross. Yeah. And then you're just kind of like trying to go back and forth between, you know, stretching out so your body you can from breathe. The weight in the arm, wrists, arms, whatever, to your feet. And so it's just this back and forth motion. And then, so this obviously led to a very slow and torturous death. And it says that some victims lasted as long as 4 days.
Jeez.
4 days having to endure that.
Wow.
It's just awful. So that is a breakdown of crucifixion, which... Again, I didn't know all that, and I'm sorry. I know that's hard, but also yeah. I think important to understand what used to happen even before Jesus and what Jesus endured.
Well, and I think that we can become so callous, honestly, maybe sometimes because of how often we see a cross symbol. We see it on beautiful necklaces and beautiful artwork, and that's not to say that it's wrong to display that, but how often are we coming in contact with the symbol of a cross and we are not wrecked mm-hmm. by that, by what you just explained, and the fact that our Savior mm-hmm. endured that for us for no other reason than we could never pay the penalty for our sin, and so he did it for us. Yeah. That should bring us to tears every time that we consider it.
Yeah. It's and that we, song, mm-hmm. the old rugged cross.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. It's a great song.
Yeah. If you guys want more detail from like a medical background, the Lee Strobel book, The Case for Christ, mm-hmm. has a portion of it on specifically the crucifixion where Lee interviews a doctor named Dr. Alexander Methuril, and he walks through exactly what happens to a human body when you're crucified. And so he talks about like what Mariah was talking about in very detailed medical, with all of the medical, like your body goes into, what was the word? Respiratory acidosis. So the carbon dioxide in the blood is dissolved as carbonic acid, causing the acidity of the blood to increase, eventually leading to irregular heartbeat. So not only are you struggling to breathe, your blood is literally basically attacking itself because of all of the carbon dioxide in the blood. So this just, it is a gruesome, gruesome way to go.
Thank you for breaking that down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is important for us to consider and just know.
I thought this was interesting as well, because in my mind I was taking all that in, and then I was kind of like, how did we, well, one, when did crucifixion stop, and how did the cross become what it became? But obviously because it's Jesus, but from what I saw, apparently when, before Jesus, the cross was actually, because they crucified everyone on it, the cross was actually a symbol of death. And so death is what they correlated the cross with. And it wasn't until ultimately Jesus that the meaning behind the cross went from death to life. Yeah. And then furthermore, the Roman Emperor Constantine I is the one who stopped crucifixion after he converted to Christianity. So he stopped crucifixion as a death penalty and then promoted the cross using
as the way of life,
as a symbol of Christ.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that is a really important point to make too, about how it was literally the symbol of death. There's an article in the Gospel Coalition that talks about the cross as the cross is basically the equivalent to an electric chair. So if you are not a believer, if you are wearing the cross because you think it's cute, like that person in that panel was doing, like that is literally the equivalent of wearing a gun that is 18,000 times more
dramatically awful to how to eliminate somebody. And
a cross is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, the whole article is about like how basically Christians wearing the cross is like us wearing a symbol of the electric chair. It's intended to show that the, while the cross has become common and even a sentimental symbol of Christianity today, as it should be, in Christ's day, it was a harsh symbol of execution. And so the woman who was on that panel, when she's saying, I don't believe that, you believe that. No, it is actually a fact that a man named Jesus died on a cross. Yeah. So that has been recorded by both Pontius Pilate. It was found in his diaries. Ancient historians Josephus and Tacitus, who are not believers, both wrote about a man named Jesus coming from Nazareth, dying on a cross. So like, there is evidence of him outside of the Gospels. Yeah. Dying on the cross. So just because you don't believe that he is your savior, he still died on the cross.
Sure.
So I think that's important too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where to next?
Another Got Questions article we'll link in the show notes, and it talks about the meaning of the cross. And they say, simply put, the meaning of the cross is death. So obviously in Christianity, it's the intersection of God's love and his justice. Maybe not obviously. What Mariah just explained, it is gruesome. That's a good word, Rach. And the fact that such a gruesome and horrible death can for us be the intersection of God's love and justice is absolutely astounding and beautiful. Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. We see that in John 1:39. We reference Jesus as the Lamb of God. It points back to Jewish Passover in Exodus 12. And John recognized, John the Baptist. When he recognized Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's the John 1:29. And so when you consider the Old Testament, before Jesus, they were looking forward to the cross. They were looking forward to what they thought was going to be a ruler, a political leader, a military leader who was going to come in and overthrow. And what they received was the Lamb of God who was prophesied. And so when we consider context, as we always say, we need to actually consider, you know, everything that the Bible says and not just look at like the strong stuff, right? And so when we consider the Lamb of God going to be crucified, when we consider Exodus, when we consider the law of Moses, when we consider all of these things, then we see Jesus and his crucifixion. Only Jesus can be the propitiation for our sin. Propitiation, it carries the basic idea of appeasement or satisfaction toward God. So it's a two-part act that involves appeasing the wrath of God based on our sin, and then being reconciled to him because that sin has been paid for. So there's just so much that goes into the cross. It is not just a cute symbol. I would say it is not a cute symbol. It is a symbol to remind the Christian of what their Savior did for them.
I want to say it is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is not an accessory to be worn as a, oh, I think this is cute, it goes well with my outfit. It is a beautiful reminder of just what Jordan was saying, that the fact that Christ, who was sinless, came to earth and became sin for us. It says in Galatians that, so Galatians 3, verse, I'm going to read 12 through 14, but the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. It literally was written in the Old Testament. I don't remember what the cross-reference verse is, but it was actually said, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And that is how God came to earth. That is how he did that. That is how he redeemed us. He became a curse for us.
And there are so many sermons, lessons, articles that you can read or listen to on the cross. One of them will link in the show notes, The Meaning of the Cross, and it's from 1 Peter 2:24-25. So that's something you can listen to or read. And it's just, it's important. It's important to consider what Mariah explained. It's important to consider the Old and New Testament. It's important to listen to people who have spent their lives studying the faith that they believe, the faith that they have, what they believe in, who Jesus is. And we need to learn from one another, but we have to read the Bible for ourselves. We have to recognize the relationships that were built to get Jesus where he was, like the mother that he had, the earthly father that he had, the sibling, like all of it that goes together. It's not just a good man hanging on a cross for some people. It is the God man. And yeah, I don't think we can overstate the importance of understanding the cross.
Yeah. Well, it is in 1 Corinthians 2. Paul talks about the importance of proclaiming Christ crucified. So I'm going to read 2:1-5. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the crucifixion is the pinnacle of our Christian faith, because it is the very moment when Christ saved us. But to those who are already dying, the cross is already death. It smells of death to them. The cross is foolishness, it says, to those. So 1 Corinthians 1:23 says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and the foolishness to Gentiles. And the reason why it's foolishness to Gentiles is because of just what Mariah was saying. Crucifixion was meant to be a humiliating experience, a humiliating and debasing form of execution for those who were lower than dirt. It was actually illegal to crucify a actual Roman citizen. Cicero says, to bind a Roman citizen is a crime. To flog him is an abomination. To kill him is almost an act of murder. To crucify him is what? There is no fitting word that can possibly describe so horrible a deed. And that is Cicero speaking. So the fact that our Lord came and did that for us should bring us to tears, like Jordan said, every time.
Yeah.
Another verse that I loved while researching this, Mark 8:34, says, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And take up his cross, that part had a reference, like go and reference this verse. And that referenced over to Matthew 10:38-39, which says, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There's just so much hope in the cross alone, and just following Jesus and being in communion with him.
I love the hope.
Yeah. There is a Louis Giglio sermon.
It's so good.
Where he talks about laminin.
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 I don't know what that is, to be honest.
You're about to find out, Mariah.
Sorry.
That's okay. It is a glycoprotein that helps cells stick together and move around. And so basically it holds things together. So it's a protein that's a part of the extracellular matrix in humans and animals. Mm. So it is in us.
Oh, in animals too.
Mm-hmm. So in his sermon, Louis asks how we can know that God will hold us together. And he references Psalm 33. And what he says, quote, that's really what we want to know. And I'll tell you how you can know today that God will always hold you together no matter what. And then he references laminin like it's glue. Laminin is in the shape of a cross.
My mind is blown. I think if your minds could blow up, mine would blow up right now.
Yeah. And I, this was, I don't remember, it was certainly probably a couple years ago where I first saw this. I don't actually know what year this was, but we can find the sermon and link it.
I think I heard him do it in like maybe 2018 or 2019.
Okay.
Something like that. I think he's done it up for many, many years, though. Oh, that's cool. Just when I heard it.
Okay. Yeah, and I just, like, there are so many things in life that I think people just kind of, like, throw away. There's kind of like, oh, coincidence, oh, this, oh, that. Yeah. How beautiful and purposeful is this? Yeah. I don't know. Like, there are some things that I see in that just very basically, if this does nothing but encourage the Christian, like if for whatever reason this happened to be a coincidence that God didn't think about the fact that this was in the shape of a cross, okay. Is that a hill I'm going to die on? No, I haven't talked to God about that. But like, come on.
See, I don't know. Cool. I feel like that is a hill I would die on.
Oh, okay.
Because we talk about how sovereign he is, and I don't think that there is any detail that is not purposed to bring him glory. And I think the fact that this is the molecule that literally holds us together, yeah, and it is in the shape of a cross.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that is, like, I think that's purposed. I think, yeah, that is sovereignly destined to be.
And I think so, too. And I'm on board with that 100%.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times I have conversations with people and what they want is proof. And I'm like, cool, proof and faith are different. But like, also there's proof that Jesus of Nazareth was real. There's proof that like the things in the Bible, they did happen. Come on, 1500 years, 40 authors all telling the same story. Mm-hmm. Please.
And the events are backed up by outside historical or historians, whatever, yeah, they're called.
Yeah, there's an article that is called Laminin and the Cross, Is There a Connection? And I just think that it is wonderful. So I'm going to recommend that you look at that too. And we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah. There's the Louis. I found a Louis sermon from 11. It's 11 years ago that he did one. And it's only a 5-minute clip, but we can put that in there too.
Okay, cool.
It's really cool. He quotes Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Mm. So cool.
Amazing.
Do we think gorillas have laminin?
No idea.
I think it's animals. I think it's...
So you think every single animal has laminin?
I've just seen animals. I didn't actually look into that specifically. Why do you ask?
Because people who think that we came from gorillas...
Oh, interesting.
I'm curious if gorillas have laminin.
Laminins are large cell adhesive glycoproteins that are required for the formation and function of basement membranes in all animals. Mm. Structural studies by an electron microscopy in the early 1980s revealed a cross-shaped molecule, which subsequently was shown to consist of three distinct polypeptide chains. So that's from the National Institute of Health.
It would make sense for all animals to have laminin because God created the animals, but I guess I was trying to, like, you know, debunk that, like, right here, right now, because probably no one else has thought of that, so I thought I was going to come up with this revolutionary.
Here in the year of our Lord 2024, Mariah Jenkins.
You know who was actually one of the, like, staunchest, like, evolution is actually wrong by the end of his life?
Who?
Charles Darwin.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't mean anything to me. Oh.
Charles Darwin is the guy who invented the
Darwin.
Theory. Yeah.
I thought you said Darwin. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
You said Darwin. Never heard of him.
Darwin? Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Before Darwin died, he literally was like, well, I was wrong about everything. And no one ever talks about it.
Well, just saying. Doesn't fit their narrative.
Of course not. Of course
get
not.
A headline.
But we digress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah.
Okay, Mariah, I would love for you to share the conversation or like what you found out when you were talking to our friend Abby. Shout out Abby, we love you. We were talking to Abby about this and the book that she referenced.
Yeah, I brought up this topic to Abby before or last week, and she was like, oh, that's really interesting, I have this book that talks about this topic but in a negative light. Do we remember that? Oh, Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Mm-hmm. And what we've come to recognize now is that he's referring to the crucifix, not the cross, which is a big difference. Crucifix has the actual image of Jesus on the cross versus the cross just being the bare cross. So in this book, J.I. Packer is talking about how wearing the crucifix as jewelry actually defiles the image of God, in the sense of like you're making it an idol. Mm-hmm. Which was really interesting because not something I would have ever thought of.
Yeah. And he references Exodus. So Exodus 20:4-6 says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments."
And what's the second commandment?
"You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them."
There you go.
So that's Exodus 20:4-5.
That's what I just read.
Yeah. I was just trying to like shorten it.
Yeah. So
making an idol.
Do not make an idol. Do not bow down to them.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, did I read the wrong thing?
No, I was like, she just read it, but I'll read it again.
I was just looking for one of you guys to just
boil it down. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. That's Knowing God is one of my favorite books. J.A. Packer is just he's such an intelligent man. And the way he approaches theology and scripture is just so, it just makes sense to me. The way he rationalizes things and the way he just thinks through what is actually in scripture and how he applies it to life. And I think I like that we're bringing up the difference between a crucifix and a cross with the second commandment. So it is not the fact that you are wearing a cross. It's the fact that you're wearing an image of Christ. And especially having him on the cross as though he were never off of it. So I have the section where that comes from in the book. It's Knowing God, chapter 4. It's called The Only True God. So he starts out with that, with the verse of the second commandment. And then he says, "It is natural to suppose that the second commandment forbids the worship of images other than Yahweh. But that would be a reiteration of the first commandment. This commandment deals not with the object of our worship, but the manner of it. Statues and pictures of the one we worship aren't to be used as aids to worship. God stresses this commandment. I am a jealous God. Why? One, images dishonor God, for they obscure his glory." And I'm not going to read it all, but basically the crucifix hides Christ's true deity from us because we as humans cannot capture the infinite glory that was and is our Christ. Point two, images mislead men. Their inadequacy conveys false ideas about God. So the fact that we would even think that we could capture his eyes or capture his essence in a article of jewelry is folly, and it misleads us, and it leads us to actually worshiping the image that we've created in our mind and not Christ himself.
Do we know, I'm googling this right now, maybe you guys know off the top of your head, do we know why Catholics use the crucifix and not the cross?
I do not know that.
I don't know that either.
While the crucifix is traditional, there is no theological mandate to wear. Okay.
Yeah.
No one's saying to wear
one. I think it's more about tradition. So I'm seeing that the Catholic Church historically started using the crucifix about 680 AD. There was graffiti in the Roman catacombs that shows portrayals of Christ on the cross much earlier than that. But 680 and onward, there were archaeologists and art historians found evidences that Christians would carry crucifixes with them. So they maybe didn't have a necklace or the rosary beads like they do today, but they had actual physical crucifixes that they would carry with them to remind them of the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross.
Which is the symbol of the cross as well, just without Christ on there.
Correct.
Interesting. Yeah. So we think maybe it's mostly a traditional aspect.
I haven't done enough research to speak on that.
Can't say yes or no, but upon a quick Google search.
Yeah, any of our Catholic friends might know, so let us know. Yeah. One thing that I'm seeing is that, like, the idea that the Catholic Church is downplaying the resurrection by focusing so much on the crucifixion. And so that's one of the reasons that many Protestants are against it.
Yeah.
And so obviously that is a complete difference of belief.
Yeah.
But big separation.
I mean, and for me, I mean, this isn't rooted in any kind of official teaching that I've received, but when I'm seeing an empty cross, it's not just a representation of the sacrifice that was made, but it's also a representation of the empty cross. Like, my God is alive. Mm-hmm. He is no longer in the tomb. He's no longer on the cross. He is alive, interceding for me at the right hand of the Father.
Seated.
Continuously.
Yeah.
He is.
The work is complete.
Amen. Love that.
Yeah.
Okay, I have something else. Okay.
Love it.
What about the upside down cross? Have you guys looked into that?
Talking about John?
Peter.
No, Peter.
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 Oh. My bad.
I was like, we don't know.
Tell me about John.
Okay. John was the only one that wasn't.
Yeah, we don't know. Mm-hmm.
John was the only one that wasn't killed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He died of old age.
Good for you, John.
Yeah.
How old? Like a normal old age or like a 1,000-year-old?
Oh, no. Normal. It was like a normal old age.
Okay. Yeah. So not like 895.
Yeah.
No. Normal lifespans then. Oh. Yeah, so Peter refused to be crucified in the way that his Savior was, and so he was crucified upside down.
So cool. Well, do we know that for sure? Is that that's a known, I guess when I was reading it, when I was reading it, says one story or one version of the story.
It is believed that the Apostle John died at the age of
93. That's good.
So the tradition of St. Peter was crucified upside down comes from the Acts of Peter, which is an apocryphal text that was written in the 2nd century. In the Acts of Peter, Peter asked to be crucified upside down to make a point about the values of those crucifying him. He also says that he doesn't feel worthy to die in the same way as his Savior. The Bible doesn't confirm or deny that Peter was crucified upside down. However, tradition is commonly accepted in the church.
Okay.
So. Yeah. So it's one of the apocryphal texts, which I do think maybe down the line we could talk about those.
Yeah, the Apocrypha.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool to talk about that.
Can you say what that is, at least for the...
So those are different historical texts that were written around the same time or believed to have been written around the same time as the Holy Canon, but they are not included in scripture.
Extra biblical.
Yeah.
And can we say what the Holy Canon is?
The Bible as we know it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Break it down. Break it
down. I love it. I love it.
Okay. So also going off of the upside down cross again as well. I mean, like if that is correct, amazing. I love that Peter would have, because like also too, isn't it kind of interesting that like, yeah, sure, maybe he requested that, but like they did it.
Yeah.
They weren't like, no, absolutely not. We're crucifying you the way that we've crucified everyone. Yeah. Like, but like, they did it.
Think about at the top of the episode when we're talking about how brutal crucifixion is, when you're able to push up with your legs, can you imagine being upside down?
Are you then trying to push up with your wrists?
I think you pass out.
Well, yeah,
out,
and then
though,
all the
blood's rushing into your head.
Yeah, you don't last 4 days upside down.
No,
that's for sure.
You don't last 4 hours upside down like that.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's crazy. So, okay, so there's that.
But that also just fits with the character that we see in scripture of Peter.
Oh, yeah.
Like one, the rash decision making this man had. You know what? Crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy. No, you're right. You're not. But wow.
That's a really cool story. I mean, you know, the meaning behind it. I think it's then insane that we've turned the meaning and symbolism of the upside down cross these days, that a lot of people look at it as like demonic or atheism or, you know, just anything that is supporting their devotion even to Satan. So,
yeah, well, I mean, consider the rainbow.
True.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, there are so many wonderful, beautiful symbols from our God, from our Creator, from our Lord, from our Savior, that the world takes and twists to be their own.
Yeah. How can you take a story like that and then totally twist it?
Because we are literally broken and fallen people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite podcast is called the White Horse Inn podcast. So it actually started out as a radio program back, I think, in the 80s. It was like actually on the radio, and it was several pastors, all from different denominations, coming together to talk about really cool theological topics. So I think there's a Reformed Baptist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, maybe an Anglican. So all these men have, they're in union on the things that are necessary.
Foundational.
Yeah. And they have fun banter about the things that are not. So
like secondary, tertiary.
Yeah. It's a beautiful relationship between men who just love the Lord and love each other as brothers and don't agree on everything. And it's just fun. It's fun to listen to. Love
that. Where'd the name come from?
Yeah. Good. The White Horse Inn.
I am getting this from the actual White Horse Inn website, and we will link it.
This is their podcast
website? This is their podcast website. So Why We Call Our Radio Program White Horse Inn, by Shane Rosenthal, who is one of the men who is on it. In 1520, just a few years after Martin Luther nailed his protest to the door in Wittenberg, a small band of English scholars began to meet regularly to discuss the German reformers' writing, along with Erasmus's recently completed Greek New Testament. The meeting house was a tavern in Cambridge, England, on the campus of King's College, called the White Horse Inn. And the names of those who regularly met there include Robert Barnes, William Tyndale, Miles Coverdale, Nicholas Ridley, Hugh Latimer, Thomas Cranmer, Thomas Bilney, and others. So that's really cool. Yeah, and they discussed over ale, which I love.
So, does it reference Revelation 19?
No.
Okay.
It references 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Mm. But this is cool. So, well, not cool, but it is historically important. As it turned out, most of the men who originally met at the White Horse Inn were martyred in later years. And as one writer put it, these men would offer their lives to procure the truths of faith that they rallied for over pints of ale in that Cambridge pub. Thus, this was no ordinary pub. Here, these young scholars were not merely allowed to experience the cool refreshment following a single day's labor, but were somehow, by God's grace, able to taste the powers of the coming age and to drink deeply from the water of life. Mm. Come on. I love that. And this is why this is one of my favorite podcasts, because these guys are just so cool. But all of that to say, they do a really good series that I just love on the theology of the cross. So they've broken it down into four different episodes. One is the theology of the cross. The next one is the necessity of the cross, the offense of the cross, and the way of the cross. So basically in it, they break down the four pillars of the idea of the cross. So theology meaning penal substitution. So what the cross represents as a believer in Christ. So it represents the fact that we as sinners were far from God, could not live a perfect life. Therefore, Christ had to come and die on a cross to pay for our sins. The necessity of the cross continues in that, and it's just talking about how we could not make it, basically. So it was, we are, even our thought life is just so broken and so far from the Lord. The fact that we wake up and our first thoughts are selfish is an offense to the Holy Creator, and that therefore we needed a perfect man to come and die on the cross. The offense of the cross talks about what we were talking about earlier in the episode on how the cross is foolishness to the world. But then it also talks about how the cross is offensive just to mankind in general, because it says that you need a savior. You cannot do this on your own. And that's offensive, because especially today, yeah, we want to think we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and we can't.
Yeah, we don't want to admit that we need saving. We have to, in our minds, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's like in the same breath, we know in our minds, we're like, I do not have this, but we feel this need to show the world that we do. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is like, hey, yeah, I know you don't, and you don't have to, and you can't. So come on.
Or, I mean, I think about like secular humanists who are, if I try my best and help as many people as I can, whatever God out there is going to honor that and I'll be fine. And if you don't recognize how bad you truly are, because you're not as bad as the guy you see out there. Like, right. It's just, you're not a murderer, whatever. And then the last episode they do is called The Way. And it's basically the gospel. It's basically the grace that is given to us because of the cross and what it means for us post salvation in that hope that, I think it was Mariah, I think you were talking about it earlier, the hope of the cross. Yeah. And that's what that episode is. So it's just such a good podcast. One, it's great for people who are believers who struggle with being in contention with other believers who don't necessarily believe everything that you believe. It's great to listen to these guys who love each other and talk about things they aren't always on the same page with. But then it's also just beautiful to talk about the miraculous salvation that the cross provides for us.
Rachel, you said something earlier when we were talking about the jewelry, and I think you said something along the lines of, we should not be wearing our cross necklace, for example, you know, versus earrings or rings, whatever. We shouldn't be wearing our cross necklaces as just a cute accessory. Mm-hmm. And I fully agree with that. What I will say is, did I pick my particular cross necklace out because I think that this is a cute one? Absolutely, I did. I think there are plenty of cross necklaces out there that are not for me and not up my alley. But there's a difference between wearing it because it's cute, mm-hmm, and wearing it because it's meaningful to you and it is also cute.
Amen. Yeah, I agree.
So I just want to point that out because I like it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we probably can all share the same sentiments on all of our cross necklaces. So I like that differentiator there. But I personally, because I was thinking about this while going through this episode, and I was like, why do I wear my cross? And it, to me, yes, it is a reminder of the sacrifice that, mm-hmm, Jesus made for us, mm-hmm, daily. But I also do like to wear it as a nonverbal expression, mm-hmm, of my faith and of just my love and respect for Christ. I think most importantly, it is the reminder, of course, of Christ's sacrifice. But I do like to wear it as like a nonverbal. Yeah.
Could give you the opportunity expression. To tell someone about the gospel.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. So I love my cross necklace.
Yeah. I love it too.
Yeah.
Me too. Wow. I loved this. I'm thankful that you did have us dig into what actually happens. It should feel weighty when we consider the cross. And in order for that to be true, we can't just gloss over seeing someone wearing one or having like a cross in the house or something like that, like on a picture or something, I don't know, in your bookcase. So thank you.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you guys. Thank you for listening. We are just thankful for each and every one of you. So you came back to Gather to Scatter, and we are thankful. Next week, we are going to talk about citizenship in our What in the World series. So we're excited for that. As always, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Be sure to follow our Instagram page at Gather to Scatter Podcast, and then search Gather to Scatter in Spotify and Apple Podcast. Subscribe, like, and follow.
Bye.
See you next time.
Bye, guys.
Love you guys.
Bye.